The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's great Friday. Thanks for being with us. Charles Barkley is going to join us in about 12 minutes. We will visit with Charles, TNT analyst. Are the Suns in trouble? The Chuckster's view on Bryson and Aaron Rodgers and Brady and Phil playing, because Charles is going to be part of that broadcast team, as is Larry Fitzgerald, which I find interesting, and I'll weave that in with my discussion with Charles. And the new Space Jam is coming out, which one's better, and so on and so forth. As always, when we have Charles Barkley on, we go a lot of different directions. Chuckster will be with us coming up at 10:20. Kent Summers, lead columnist, AZ Central Sports, in Los Angeles, in a hotel room. Of course he is. Getting ready for an off day of Zooms and all that stuff with the Suns losing last night. We'll have Kent Summers. So Charles Barkley and Kent Summers on today's show. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. I am rested. I took my son to the Midwest. It was a trip that was planned well before everything that's happened with the Suns. And I have a great staff. We have a great team. And so I am going to keep my plans and my commitments to my son, even when the Suns go deep. And everybody did great. Gil Tyree was terrific. Espo was okay. No, I'm just kidding. Espo was great. And when you have Steve producing, and Jared Ironman was on vacation too. So Jared and I have not been back for a while. He's celebrating his anniversary, and he is rested and refreshed, I hope. So everything went fine and swimmingly this week. But went to Chicago, saw my daughter, went through Northwestern, went down to Purdue. My son wants to be an engineer, so we looked at Northwestern, we looked at Purdue, and just tooled around. Followed things from a distance, watched the games, made some notes, didn't really get unplugged. Can't get unplugged when there's something this big going on, but I wasn't at the games. But I watched. It's fine. Tomorrow night, it will be game number 4. I think the Suns are in trouble. I do, a little bit. I'm not saying a lot. And you're going to say, well, what? They're still up in the series. Yeah, and it's Paul George missing a couple free throws and a tremendous play call and execution by Jay Crowder to DeAndre Ayton and the back screen by Devin Booker. It's really it. Paul George makes the free throws. The Clippers are up 2-1 in the series. He didn't. What we saw last night, I think eventually the bubble had to burst. You have this playoff pressure that there hits a point where a team lays an egg. It was a dud. It was whatever term you want to use. It wasn't a great game on any way, stretch, or form. The Clippers played desperate. Patrick Beverley, as we said at the beginning of this series, is just a junkyard dog. He is going to harass, and you're going to hate him. This had nothing to do with officiating. If you're going to go down the officiating hole, sorry, I just don't play that game. It was probably the wrong show for you. Happens. I'm not going to try to preach to the masses and say, oh, man, it was the officials. All reason. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. They just didn't play well, and they didn't come out with a lot of energy, and the Clippers did, and they were desperate. But there are some things to be concerned about. So Cam Payne's ankle injury to me is a big concern. Chris Paul had a long layoff. He didn't look great last night. 10 of 40 shooting. You don't think that's going to happen with Devin Booker and Chris Paul? You know, Charles wore a mask. Remember when Charles wore a mask? You know, I remember this when he played. It's not easy. Guys trying to wear masks and trying to, you can't see out of the sides and all that stuff. And Devin can say it didn't impact him. I thought last night the officials got to Devin a little bit. We've talked about that through the years with him here in the Valley. That's something he's got to work on. Something Monty's tried to work with him on. So you just press flush, as the late, great Cotton Fitzsimmons would say. It's a flusher. That was Cotton's term. You didn't play well. You look at the box score, pull the team together, put it in the toilet, flush it, and say it's flusher. Let's move on to the next game. But if Cameron Payne is not able to play, then that's a problem. It is. Because now you're looking at heavy minutes. Devin got in foul trouble last night. And so does it require Monty Williams making adjustments to try to get through the rotation without going to Etuan Moore, Javon Carter? Do you look at Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges together with Devin for a few minutes while Chris is resting and so on and so forth through your backcourt? You have to look at some different things if he's not able to play, or if he's trying to play through it and he's hurting the team more than helping the team. So, you know, I thought last night it was just aesthetically the third quarter, they looked tired, they looked lethargic. And the stress of postseason basketball will do that to you. And it's one game, but if you look at it from the Clippers' point of view, we almost beat them without Kawhi in Phoenix. It's not like they're that much better than us. And that's their side of it. The Sun side is, yeah, it was a stinker, and we'll play better and we'll make adjustments because we've been a team that's made adjustments. I know the Clipper people today have been banging over people over the head about, well, this is how we go in the postseason. We go down, and then we come back, and we rally to win. Maybe true, but Paul George cannot continue to play those heavy minutes. Like, I think it's smart. It's very smart for Ty Lue to say, Patrick Beverley, see Devin Booker, pick up Devin Booker, harass Devin Booker, be in Devin Booker's face all night. It's smart. How do the Suns combat that? I didn't feel like they really had their tempo last night. I didn't feel like they're really getting up and down the floor with the urgency that I've seen earlier in the playoffs. And again, that just may be hitting the proverbial wall. You want the stars to perform as stars every single night. Doesn't happen, especially in the playoffs. That's why I get on these rants about the length of season and games in December against Memphis on a Tuesday night and playing heavy minutes, because those games don't really do much when you get to this point. I'm not in favor of load management. I'm not. But I am in favor of being smart, so when you get into postseason play, you have the team that is most rested and ready to go. The idea of, well, this is how it used to be in the league, this is how it was when I watched in the 80s or the 90s or so on, those days are gone. Those days are gone. If Kawhi Leonard rests up, and what happens? He still got hurt. So I'm just saying to be smart about it. Pick your spots. Not every night, because now here you are in the postseason. And if you get after Paul George, like Patrick Beverley got after Devin Booker, Paul George is leading the postseason minutes played. Push Paul George. Get into Paul George. Pick up Paul George. Make him work. So, yeah, it's a series of adjustments. You know, you hear that all the time. It's a series of adjustments. And it's true here. You know, we're down to the nitty-gritty. And if the Suns just win their games at home, they're going to win this series. But I think the idea that the Clippers are just going to roll over, no, they showed some fight. They showed some moxie. They showed some grit. So Charles Barkley joins us here on the other side, and then Kent Summers on a Friday. I'm Brad Sussmann. I have to go to Charles Barkley to find out if I'm right or if he's going to say you're just full of it. So here is the Chuckster. Charles joins us, TNT analyst, the great Sun. You guys have seen him ramp up the arena with Rally the Valley and all that stuff. Thank you for taking the time. I know you're busy. Are the Suns in trouble in this series, Charles?
Wait, they're up 2-0. And the only thing that the Clippers did was stave off getting swept. I think the Suns are in great shape. I think last night was predictable, very predictable. You're going to have a situation where Chris, number one, hadn't played basketball in 2 weeks. And then you got, a book out there with one eye. Because, you know, I played in one of those masks before, and they suck. Because you can't see sideways. You can only see straight ahead. So it's really really a uncomfortable feeling. But, hey, I still feel good about the Suns.
All right, so I'll give you my side of it. A great play by Monty he drew up. Paul George missed a couple free throws. Now, I know you're going to say, well, that's basketball. That's the way it goes. But Patrick Beverley, Charles, got into Devin last night. And I agree with you on the mask thing because I've heard that through the years, even when you played. But it feels to me like in this series, it's not like the Suns are in a space where they're in great shape, other than they've won their games at home. You see my point at all, or am I just losing it?
Well, listen, Book went off in game one. It was a good game in game two. Like I say, I think the only difference, to be honest with you, was Chris Paul not being there. They would be up 2-0, and Chris would be in shape if he had been able to play in both of those first two games. But you don't sit out of basketball for 10 days or 2 weeks and then just come out there and everything's – and like I say, they got the bad break with Book having to wear the mask.
Yeah.
Because Chris would have played better if he had played the first two games.
Now, campaign is going to be out, it looks like. We don't know for sure about tomorrow night, but it looked pretty severe last night. If he's not there, how does that impact the Suns from your view as well as he's played?
It's huge. It's huge. It's really huge because he has played fantastic, and he's played fantastic when him and Chris both been out there together. So anytime you lose a guy like that, it's going to hurt. But like I said, only thing they got to worry about is trying to get him back for game five because, you know, it's up to the Clippers to win those next two games. It's not up to the Suns. Suns, you know, when you're up 2-0, all the pressure's on the team is down 0-2.
Yeah, you got to win at home. You know, if you win your home game, the Suns are going to move on to the finals. When did you see this coming with the Suns from your view, Charles?
I didn't see this coming. I thought they would beat the Lakers because the Lakers were not healthy. I was surprised the Denver sweep. I mean, I think everybody was surprised with the Denver sweep. I thought that would be a grueling 6-7-game series. But like I say, man, they're playing with tremendous confidence. I think the biggest question they had coming into the playoffs was DeAndre Ayton, and he has played fabulous. So now I think going forward with Book and Ayton, you got to feel really good if you're a Suns fan for the next few years.
Hall of Famer Charles Barkley with us with TNT. A couple other questions. I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time. Over in the East, what, did you see this coming with Atlanta? And why does Nate McMillan not have a contract, Charles? Come on now.
Well, he's going to get a contract from somebody. He might be waiting on one of these teams to lose so he can get a better team. I still think Milwaukee's going to win the series. You know, I think the layoff probably bothered them. They were rusty. You know, they still want to live and die with the three. And as you see, hey, 3-point shooting is the toughest part of the game right now. These teams don't even have strategy anymore. Say, we're just going to jack up threes. Mm-hmm. If we make them, we win. If we miss them, we lose. And that's Milwaukee, and I got on them. I called them the dumbest team in the NBA because I think they are going to win the championship in spite of some of the stuff they got going on. I think they're the best team left standing, but they're so stubborn. Giannis wants to shoot threes instead of just taking the ball to the basket. It's very frustrating at times. But listen, Trae Young just went crazy the other night, but I think Milwaukee will come back and win this series.
When the basketball is over for you next week with Eastern Conference Finals at TNT, you're going to be a golf analyst again. You're going to do this again with Brady and Phil and Aaron and Bryson. What are you going to be doing in this show, Charles? You know yet?
Just having fun. I mean, I'm going to do what I do like I did the first time when I did this match. I'm just going to have fun. I mean, you know, I know all those. I never met Bryson, but I know those other guys, and I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to do what I do. I'm looking forward to going to Montana. Should be awesome. I hear that course is amazing. But, Brad, I'm just going to do what I do.
They have a 700-yard par 5 on that course. That's...
Wow. Listen, first of all, talking to Phil and those guys, they tell me the course is beautiful. I cannot wait to get there. I'm looking forward to it.
When you see Bryson, what can you do on the golf course that he can't, Charles?
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting him. I think he's a fascinating guy. I love the little thing between him and Brooks.
Yeah.
I think it's great for golf. I think it's great for golf as long as they keep it clean and classy. I think both of them have done a really good job of doing that. But, man, the guy's a great, great player. He's very obviously set in his ways and methodical. But, hey, that's why golf is an individual sport. You can do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. You're going to play up there, right?
I'm not playing. I might try to, my schedule is dictated by how long this Milwaukee-Atlanta series goes. So I don't know if I'm going to get there the day of or not. So, but I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get there.
Are you at Tahoe this year?
Yes. I go right from Montana to Tahoe.
Okay. And I'll be at Tahoe, so I will see you in Tahoe. That'll be fun.
I look forward to it, brother.
Fitz is an analyst in this. So I have to ask you about Fitz. Like, we're sitting here in June. You're a big Cardinals fan. I'm starting to believe that he is not going to turn in his paperwork, and he's going to sit there and he's going to see wide receivers get injured, And then he's going to say, you know what? I think I can go there. That's where, and he can do this TV thing on the side, unless you see it differently than me. I'm trying to figure Fitz out here, Charles.
Well, listen, I think he's earned the right. He's the greatest athlete in Arizona history. I think he's earned the right to do what he wants to. I don't think
better
anybody
than you?
Know what he's going to do.
Better than you?
No, that's Fitz. The guy's the greatest, number one, thank you for that compliment, but the guy's the greatest athlete in Arizona history.
Wow.
And listen, he gets diplomatic immunity to do anything he wants to.
And lastly, because I have a laundry list for you as always, your Space Jam versus the new Space Jam. Ooh,
I haven't seen the new one yet. Let me wait and see the new one before I make that distinction.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate your time. I'll let you go off that, and I look forward to seeing you in Tahoe.
I look forward to it, man. You're always good, man. I look forward to it.
Thanks, Charles. There's Charles Barkley with us on the road with TNT, and you can see him tonight with Bucks and Hawks, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, let's go to Los Angeles. Kent Summers, AZ Central columnist, was there last night and fills us in on the ambiance, the team, and all that stuff. Right off the top, I think they're in trouble. You're a nice drawn-up play by a great drawn-up play by Monty Williams and some missed Paul George free throws away from being down 2-1 if you're the Suns. Or, you know, it was a dud. What do you make out of last night?
I think it could be somewhere in between. It certainly was a dud. You know, a bad performance. I thought the Suns were accurate in saying afterward that the Clippers played with more passion, desperation. That, you know, that word was pulled out. And the Suns certainly, you know, had neither one of those things last night. And it's disappointing. Like I wrote for them this morning, because, you know, to go up 3-0, I mean, you can really crush the soul of the opponent because they know it's over. And Tyronn Lue, the coach, you know, admitted such before the game. And 2-1 is very, very different. And it gives the Clippers life. And they've come back from 0-2 deficits in their previous two series. So they think they can win. The flip side is, I don't think you're going to see too many games where Chris Paul and Devin Booker shoot a combined 10 for 40.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen very often. I think DeAndre Ayton was maybe his least active he has been, especially on the board. Zubac got too many offensive rebounds. There's a lot of stuff they can improve, but it's, you know, it's hard to win 10 in a row. But certainly that's a clunker that the Suns haven't played since maybe the Lakers series when Chris Paul was still suffering from that shoulder injury.
All right, so let's just go through some particular names. Patrick Beverley is a pain in the rear to anybody. And Devin, I thought, resorted back to a little bit of what I've seen out of Devin Booker through the years, where it was officiating and it was complaining and all that. Fans are going to want you to say, or me to say, oh, it's the ref's fault. Well, it's not. Patrick Beverley is just that kind of guy. Did you see that he threw Devin off his game, or was it just merely Devin didn't shoot straight last night?
No, I think he threw Devin Booker off his game. I think it was a poor shooting game from Devin Booker. That was obvious from the outset. I thought he was going to find his rhythm. The first shot he made where Chris Paul hit him in rhythm for a three, and you think, okay, maybe that gets him going, and it never did. And, you know, that's really Devin Booker's Achilles heel, and the Suns admit it a little bit. Monty Williams does by saying, you know, I talked to Devin and the rest of the team about not getting wrapped up in officials, you know, things are going to happen, let it go, move on to the next play. And Devin Booker had trouble doing that Thursday night. Clearly, you know, Patrick Beverley was irritating, got in his head a little bit, and Devin Booker can't let that happen. And it's, he can't complain to the officials as much as he did last night, because like you said, Brad, they really had nothing to do with that outcome of that game.
No, I mean, if you want to go through officiating, they blew a call that the Clippers should have had at the end of game two. So stuff happens, and you just have to work through it. Kent Summers with us from Los Angeles. You can see all of his content. Check it out. Read it. Consume it. AZ Central. Make sure you subscribe to them. We appreciate his time in L.A. From a coaching standpoint, adjustments, it's all that playoff basketball is about, Kent. You've seen it through the years. Doesn't matter what the sport is. So what does Monty Williams do? Because we don't know campaign status. clearly when you didn't have Chris, and Chris didn't look like he was sharp, Etuan Moore, is it too big a moment for him? So let's just go through the guard spot for the Suns and what they expect or what you expect to see tomorrow night in game number 4.
That's a real challenge for Monty Williams, because he said last night that he played Chris Paul too much, you know, 39 minutes. And maybe he meant played him too much in a game that wasn't all that close.
Right.
And he should have had him out. But it's a real problem going forward if Campaign can't play Saturday, because he's such a force off the bench. I mean, I love guys who come off the bench with that cliche energy. Even more important, I love guys who could come off the bench and score. And Campaign can do that. And it allows Monty Williams to set Devin Booker out more often, because he can play Campaign and Chris Paul together. He can play Campaign and Booker together. Obviously, Chris Paul can get his rest. And without Cameron Payne, where does he go? Does he really transfer those minutes over to Moore? I don't know that that works. It's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, defensively, too, they've got to come up with something that helps Devin Booker with Patrick Beverley, that maybe helps Chris Paul a little bit with Mann coming out and defending. I mean, those guys are really good defenders on the perimeter. And and after those initial minutes in that game, you didn't see Chris Paul or Booker getting to the basket very often. And if they don't do that, DeAndre Ayton doesn't get his touches because they're not going to run anything for him. The whole thing was discombobulated. So the flip side is they've been really good. They've been really resilient all year. They've been good at finding answers and countering moves. And
right.
And we'll see Saturday. I mean, but this whole series got a lot more interesting last night.
So if Cameron Payne is not able to play, what you could do is you could, I'm not saying you should, rather than put Etuan Moore out there, it is pull Chris Paul early. It is maybe having Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges on the floor at the same time, and one of them is playing up top. Maybe you get away with that. And then when Chris comes in, Devin gets his rest, and you just have to roll through the rotation. Because I'm kind of in agreement with you. If Cameron Payne is not able to go, Etuan Moore is not ready for this moment. I just don't believe that he is. And Javon Carter certainly isn't ready for this moment. So do you take your whole rotation and have to jumble it, or do you ask Devin Booker to play heavy minutes? And on the other side of the court, you know, Paul George is leading the postseason in minutes played, and he doesn't look like he's being impacted at all. Defensively, the Suns really haven't had an answer for him, in my opinion. Even if he's missed shots, Kent, he's had good looks throughout this series.
Yeah, I agree, and I think maybe that's what they have to do, is play Bridges and Cam Johnson together more often. And they've got to step it up defensively. They're a better defensive team than we saw last night, especially in that third quarter. I thought the Suns were okay in the first half. The Clippers weren't making any shots either. I mean, their best shooting, three-point shooting team in the league was horrible in the first half from that range. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Monty Williams counters it if Campaign can't play.
All right, a couple other things I'll get you out of here. Kent Summers, AZ Central, make sure you check out all of his content today, the day after the Suns end up on the short end. I'll go back to the original question, just kind of press you on it. Are they in trouble?
No, I don't think they're in trouble. I don't. I think it. You know, so much depends on Saturday, but I don't think they're in trouble. I think this group throughout the season has responded when they've been challenged. I think that's part of who they are. I like the way they responded last night after that victory. There weren't a lot of excuses made. Booker could have blamed the mask. Chris Paul could have blamed the layoff. Monty Williams could have blamed both of those things. They just said, hey, we played poorly. The Clippers had more energy and basically played harder than we do. That can be fixed. And I think it will be fixed Saturday. But your original point is true. I mean, they're an amazing inbound play away from, you know, being down 2-1. Although you say if they lose that game in Phoenix, they probably don't play like they did Thursday night, and maybe they win that one. So who knows? You can make too many judgments in these playoff games on one game. You know, well, it's a cliche, but it's true. It's like every game has its own heartbeat, its own life. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen or what that will be like Saturday night. But I don't think the Suns are in trouble, but I think they're you know, alarms should be going off and, you know, wake up and play better than they did Thursday, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anybody that's got near the dog, the junkyard dog, the grit that Patrick Beverley showed in taking out one of the best players. And it kind of went through their whole team. What's L.A. like? So I'm asking this from, they're just coming out of pandemic. They've had cardboard seats, cardboard fans in seats. What was it like there last night compared to what it's been like over here for games? Give the fans an idea.
Oh, there was no comparison to me. You know, a part of it is, I'm sure, L.A. traffic and people trying to get to Staples for a 6 o'clock tip off. I get that. But, you know, I go out to the concourse with an hour left in the game, and there are no lines to get in through the metal detector for fans to get in. The concourses aren't packed. You know, 10 minutes before the game, people still aren't in their seats. I even thought when the game started that it was a pretty docile crowd. I mean, and they had the marketing people or the in-house people really trying to rev things up, right, and they, right, you know, handed out the big balloons that clap, you know, and I thought, wow, they're really trying hard to create energy for a team that's playing for the Western Conference Championship for the first time in its history.
Right.
And I think that's one of the disappointing things about the way the Suns played last night. I think from that standpoint, there wasn't a huge home court advantage for the Clippers. And there might be more of one Saturday, certainly now that the Clippers have some life.
Yeah, it's a Lakers town, so, you know.
Yeah, it's a Lakers town. You saw a couple of Lakers jerseys here and there in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was kind of L.A., you know. It was, yay, you know, give us a reason to cheer.
Right.
You know, it wasn't pent-up Suns fans who, you know, have been sitting at home in the playoffs for 11 years. You know, that arena, the Suns arena for these playoff games has just been amazing. Ever since they went from like 6,000 to 11,000 people in that place and now at full capacity, it's really incredible. And there was no comparison between a Phoenix crowd and the LA crowd last night.
Okay, last one, and this is more about the process. If the Suns weren't in the playoffs right now, Diamondbacks? Like, you know, as a columnist, they'd be in your crosshairs, but it's like – It's too easy. It's unbelievable. And then you have the stuff over at Arizona State with their football team. I mean, I don't know if you've had an eye on either storyline as you've been doing this, because we get consumed. What about those two storylines and what you see here in town?
Yeah, with the Suns playoff run, it doesn't even seem like it's summertime, does it?
No.
This is great. Yeah, you know, the Diamondbacks, it's like, how else do you say or write or talk about how bad they are and their struggles? And are they going to make it?
2004, we had the baby backs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we could go to the ballpark and talk to Robbie Hammock, because he was coming along. Brandon Webb was coming along. This group, it's like, these guys are older, they're a mismatch, the guy that they picked up in the Greinke trade is pitching tonight. Okay, but that's the thing. They're going to lose 117, 120 games.
Yeah,
And it's just a bunch of older guys, Kent. It's crazy.
I know. It's kind of the disappointing thing that we've heard, you know, for the last few years, how good their farm system is, and guys are up and coming. And, you know, a few guys have emerged, but there, I mean, is there really anybody you look at and think, wow, okay, there's a guy, there's hope, you know, you just don't see it. And then that, you know, Arizona State, it's just very interesting where all that's going to be headed. Can you go into a season with an investigation hanging over your head? And is this file that somebody turned in anonymously, does it really have all those receipts, and will that make an investigation move along more quickly, so there'll be some resolution one way or the other before August?
And you have the star quarterback's mom quoted throughout the follow-up story yesterday.
Yeah.
The mom of the quarterback, who's like, okay, no, I didn't do this. My email was hacked. Like, oh, okay.
My email was hacked. My credit card, you know, charges. It was,
it
does look bad. And I think, you know, the thing that surprises me is that it would surprise me that if it's in the end, they find out that Herm Edwards was directly involved, in all of this, that he, you know, was there when recruits visited during the dead period. That would surprise me. And I don't know why, because I've been doing this 35 years and nothing really should surprise me about what people do in sports. But I'm naive that way, I guess. So.
Well, go enjoy L.A. because you're not allowed into practice, or maybe you are today. I don't know. But
No, we're still kept at arm's length. Although for this round of the playoffs, one reporter from every outlet, as long as they've been vaccinated and in L.A., as long as they take a COVID test, you can go into the Zoom interview. So it's like our beat writer, Dwayne Rankin, is the first time. Last night was the first time he had interviewed Chris Paul in the same room, like face to face. Like they looked at each other and say, oh, that's what you really look like, not through a Zoom interview. I mean, it's a step. It's a step towards normalcy, I guess.
Yeah. Stay safe. There's Kent Summers, AZ Central sports columnist in Los Angeles, covering the Suns and Clippers. You can check out all of his content over at AZ Central Sports. We appreciate his time, and we're back with more after this timeout.